This is Fresh Air. Arthur Ashe didn't want the public to know he had AIDS, but last year when he found out a newspaper had the story, he decided to announce it first. Then he decided to write a memoir, which he asked Arnold Rampersad to co-author. That new memoir, Days of Grace, has just been published, 4 months after Ashe's death. It includes his reflections on AIDS, racism, tennis, and family. We invited Arnold Rampersad to read an excerpt of the book and talk with us about collaborating with Ashe. Rampersad is a professor of literature at Princeton University, the author of a 2-volume biography of Langston Hughes, and the editor of the unexpurgated works of Richard Wright. Here's Arnold Rampersad reading from Ashe's new memoir.
After my AIDS announcement on April 8, 1992, I was angry for several days. But when my wife Jeannie and I had to tell our daughter, Camera, of my illness, I swallowed my feelings and put on a dispassionate face. "Precious," I asked her that evening when Jeannie and I decided the time had come, "have you noticed anything unusual lately at home?" "Yes," she said. "What?" "The telephone," she replied, not looking up from my computer, which she was using. "They keep ringing all the time." "Yes, do you know why?" "They are ringing because Daddy had to go on television and tell everybody that he is sick, that he has AIDS." "What's AIDS?" she asked, looking at me now. "Is it like when you have diarrhea? When you don't feel well in the morning? Is that AIDS?" Her instincts surprised Jeannie and me. She knew more, had noticed and associated more than we had ever suspected. 5 years old, she could understand only a small part of what we said, but we talked to her as best we could about the illness. We also tried to prepare her for the taunts of classmates and other children. "Camera, what are you going to say to anybody who tells you your daddy has AIDS?" "What should I say?" she asked. "Just say, 'Oh, I know that.'" We hoped that this simple reply would stop the teasing. We were sure that Camera would master this response easily. After all, like it was for almost every child of her age, "I know that" had become her spontaneous reply to almost anything said to her, even if she didn't have a clue about it. But this piece of information, that her father suffered from AIDS, she would indeed have, and her knowledge would save her from hurt. Or so we hoped.
That's Arnold Rampersad reading from Arthur Ashe's new autobiography, Days of Grace. And Arnold Rampersad co-wrote the memoir with Arthur Ashe. Rampersad, how did Arthur Ashe choose you to write his final memoir with him?
Well, I don't know all the ideas that went into his decision, but he called me in June of last year and said that he wanted to do a book about race and politics, his views on those matters, and also about AIDS and heart disease and the last, 10 years of his life. And was I interested? And I immediately said I was very much interested. He had read something I had written, perhaps more than one book, The Life of Langston Hughes, I think he had read. And he decided that he did not want a sports writer on this particular book because it would only be in part about sports. So he asked me.
He approached you after the public knew that he had AIDS.
Yes, the public knew in April. He approached me in June.
Did you both feel that you were racing against the clock because of AIDS?
Arthur never let on that he was racing against the clock. I don't know if he felt that he was or not. I know that I felt a sense of urgency, not because he was deteriorating before my eyes, but I knew enough about AIDS to know that it is an imperious disease and could take him at any time. I felt very much that the clock was against us.
How did that affect how you worked together?
Well, it meant that I dropped everything else. So I'm currently answering letters sent to me several months ago. We worked intensely, long sessions. Arthur could stand being interviewed for about 2 hours, 2.5 hours, before his stamina began to give out. And we did that as often as we could through the summer, July, August, September, October, November, transcribe the interviews. And we had to be in touch with one another all the time. And then when the project moved to the writing stage, we had to be in touch with one another and with our editor at Knopf, Jonathan Siegel, a lot of the time, much more so, much more intensely than I think we would have ordinarily done so.
What did you each want this book to be?
That's a good question. Arthur, I think, set out wanting a book that dealt primarily with race and politics. He was deeply disturbed by the state of American culture in our time. He was even more disturbed by the state of African-American culture, if you can separate the two things in our time, and he wanted to concentrate on that. I, with the instincts, the snoopy instincts of a biographer, perhaps, wanted to know more about Arthur as a person. I believed also coolly from a distance that the book would achieve its greatest power through a blending of the objective and the subjective, through a revelation of Arthur's ideas about the world, but also a revelation of Arthur Ashe in a more intimate way. At first, I think he resisted the second dimension, but I think as we went along, he came to embrace it. And in fact, one day he did say to me at the end of a long session, "Everyone with a terminal disease should have to go through this. This is great."
You said he really at first wanted his memoir to be a book about race in America and his views on certain issues pertaining to race, and you wanted to make the book more personal. Were there personal issues in his life that related to the larger issues of race that he wanted to discuss? Were you urged him to bring out those personal issues?
Well, I can't think of many offhand, but there is one section in the book where he talks about the incident of the dolls. I call it the Valley of the Dolls to his, to his face, where he goes to the U.S. Open and Stan Smith, the great tennis player, his daughter brings Camera a doll as a present, and the doll is blonde. And Arthur is aware that national television is on, cameras are on the family and on his daughter playing with a blonde doll. And he's aware, he says, "I know that evening my phones would be running off the hook from people who would criticize me because my daughter has a blonde doll." And this is in the context, too, of the 1954 Supreme Court decision where black children playing with white dolls was used to show a lack of self-esteem and so on. So he asks his wife, Jeannie, to help get rid of the dolls quietly. Then he's upset that he has interfered in this way. Has he done the moral thing? He just saw a day that was supposed to be a glorious day. This was the an exhibition put on to help the AIDS Foundation, in which all the wonderful tennis players, the young tennis players, had come out. This day was being blighted by the specter of race, by his misgivings, by his anticipation of there's no possibility of natural action in this world that is so tainted, so distorted by race. That is an example of the way in which an incident in his life relates to a larger issue.
If you're just joining us, my guest is Arnold Rampersad. He co-wrote with Arthur Ashe the memoir Days of Grace, which has just been published. And we're going to take a short break and then we'll talk some more. This is Fresh Air. Arnold Rampersad is my guest. He's the author of an acclaimed two-part biography of Langston Hughes. He co-wrote Arthur Ashe's new memoir, Days of Grace. Ashe approached Rampersad and asked him to co-write it. Arnold Rampersad, could I ask you to read the very first few lines of Days of Grace?
Certainly. "If one's reputation is a possession, then of all my possessions, my reputation means most to me. Nothing comes even close to it in importance. Now and then I have wondered whether my reputation matters too much to me, but I can no more easily renounce my concern with what other people think of me than I can will myself to stop breathing. No matter what I do or where or when I do it, I feel the eyes of others on me, judging me."
Why did you decide to start the memoir with that thought?
Well, that's an excellent question. I thought it was the essence of Arthur Ashe. I thought he was a man who lived in the public eye at all times. He lived an exemplary life. I think he was aware he was living it. There is a danger there, of course. Danger is that you can be a hypocrite, or you can be so dictated to by public opinion that you are nothing but a shadow of a human being. But no, not with Arthur. I mean, I think Arthur saw himself in the context of a family and the context of a community, whether that community was first simply the blacks of Richmond or the blacks of the Westwood district of Richmond, where he with which he was very familiar as a child. But he always saw himself living in the real world with other groups of people, and he was always aware of them watching him.
As a man who was very concerned about his reputation, was there anything in this book that he wanted to set the record straight about? Things about which he felt he had been misunderstood?
Well, I think there are various things. I don't know if anything is earth-shattering. I mean, one thing he did speak about was the supposition that that there would be people who would assume that because he had AIDS, he probably was gay and had picked up AIDS in some clandestine meeting somewhere. And he wanted to set that record straight, not because he's a homophobe or anything like that, simply because he wanted the truth to be known, the truth being, and he was proud of it, even though it made him seem to some people a little old-fashioned. He'd never had an affair outside of marriage in his 16 years of marriage, and he had never had a homosexual experience, he said. He tried to set the record straight on that issue. Other matters don't come so readily to mind. I mean, he did want to talk about his relationship to radicalism in the 1960s when he was developing his skills as a tennis player. I don't think, I mean, he understood that he could not have really married those two areas, conquests on the tennis court and also displays of radical political activity. I think he felt a certain amount of guilt. He himself said that he felt a sense of shame even, back in the 60s, knowing that he was not on the barricades when people were putting their lives on the line. And I think he was eager now to talk about that, particularly because for much of the time he has acted as if it had not mattered that much to him. I think he wanted that to be known. I think if you had to sum it up, you would say that he was prepared at this point to talk about himself more in terms of fragility and indecisiveness than he had been in the past. I say indecisiveness only because he was always trying to make the right decision, the moral decision, the decision that would agree with what he had been taught was right. When he was growing up, he never wanted to harm anybody. I once said to him, "Have you ever been? How do you feel about having been mean to people in the past?" And he said, "I've never been mean to anyone." And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he stared me down. He had never been mean to anybody, as far as he was concerned. That's the way he had lived his life. But in spite of that, I mean, there was that element of fragility there that I hoped the book would bring out, because I thought it was an very, very important part of his personality and his personal history.
The first part of the memoir deals with Arthur Ashe's decision to go public with the fact that he had AIDS, and he made that decision knowing that if he didn't go public, it was going to be published in USA Today. You probably observed that period of his life on television and in the newspapers, you know, through press conferences and articles and so on. Did the story seem very different to you when you were actually writing it with Arthur Ashe than it looked to you when you were observing it with the rest of the American public?
Let me just say that that it was not absolutely certain that USA Today was going to publish the story, but Arthur felt the heat was on and that somebody would publish it sooner or later.
But they had the story and they'd called him about it.
Yes.
And he urged them not to publish it, and he wouldn't exactly confirm it, although he didn't deny it.
Absolutely.
But it was probably just a matter of time until somebody published it.
Absolutely. You're quite right. I think I sometimes wondered whether Arthur finally was glad that he broke the story. Certainly he was very angry when he did break the story and remained angry for a while, as he himself says in the book. When I look back on it, I see how glorious his life was from certain aspects, points of view in the last few months of his life, what wonderful opportunities he had to talk to people, to teach about AIDS, to influence others, to have his example seen and recognized. I think that from my point of view, it probably was a good thing. I think that he might have looked at it differently still. He had 9 months left of his life. He didn't know that. And perhaps he would have liked to have spent it, you know, in peace and obscurity. But when I think of how much he wanted to make a difference, I can't help thinking that perhaps this was best for all concerned, finally.
How close did you both get? Or are you the kind of person who almost likes to keep a distance from somebody who you would be writing about?
No, I think Arthur could not. I don't think Arthur could have made, or anyone in his position could have made, new friends at that point of his life. But I think I wanted to be closer to Arthur. There's no doubt about that. I mean, I had to keep a distance in order to take his measure. I could not contribute much to the book if I wasn't looking at him objectively and knowing what to bring forward and what to push back and what to emphasize and what to de-emphasize. But I definitely wanted to know him, more intimately. And it really was not possible. I could not say at the end of it that Arthur and I had become great friends. That's not true at all. Arthur had many, many, many friends. I was not really one of them. I wasn't brought in to be his friend. I was brought in to help him get out this last story of his life. I miss him, dearly. And I hope I have, given back to him some of what he gave to me by involving me in this story.
I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Arnold Rampersad co-wrote the new Arthur Ashe memoir, Days of Grace. Rampersad is a professor of literature at Princeton University. This is Fresh Air.